Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.
Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. Welcome to another episode of Bob Enyart Live. I'm the pastor of Denver Bible Church. On this program, you've heard of Mark Crutcher, the founder of Life Dynamics in Texas. Mark is the producer of the groundbreaking documentary Ma'afa 21 about the Holocaust in the black community from Planned Parenthood. He is the creator of the Blackmon Wall, Women Killed by Abortion. He's the author of Lyme 5, the extremely hard-hitting expose of the abortion industry, including documenting the epidemic of sexual assault by abortionists molesting their own patients in the abortion clinic. He is the lead investigator who ran the undercover sting operation documenting Planned Parenthood and hundreds of abortion clinics systematically failing to report suspected underage child rape, helping child molesters get away with their crime. Mark Crutcher also has a cameo appearance on American Right to Life's documentary, Focus on the Strategy. He's produced a stunning research report on abortion violence. In the 40 years since Roe v. Wade, 8 abortionists have been murdered. Mark Crutcher documents the 80 women murdered for refusing to have an abortion. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of violence against women from the pro-abortion side. And now, Mark Crutcher of Life Dynamics has brought the spotlight onto another tragic moment. And I'd like to welcome back, Mark, welcome back to Bob Enyart Live.
Thank you, Bob. It's nice hearing from you again.
Well, Mark, I've seen your interview with the mom of this 18-year-old girl, Marla, and I've seen the autopsy photos. So can you share with the audience what this project is from Life Dynamics?
Yeah, you know, Bob, we've become a culture, I think because of television and the internet, that is totally driven by visual images. People tend not to put much credibility unless they actually see it with their own eyes. An example of this, I think, would be the terrorist attacks of 9/11. I don't think most people would have near the view of that situation had they not seen it.
Right. It's a visceral reaction we have. 3,000 people were killed, but we saw it happening. Right.
That's right. We all saw it live. We saw it happening. And, you know, in recent years, the pro-life movement has begun to use graphic images of aborted babies. And this has been controversial. It's been controversial even within the pro-life movement. There are people who are pro-life who disagree with that. I certainly do not, and I know you don't either.
Yeah, at Bob Enyart Live, Colorado Right to Life, right, we long have used these graphic pictures to show people the truth of what's happening.
Yes. It's like my friend Father Frank Pavone says, if America won't reject abortion until America sees it. And so the use of those graphic images, I think, is one of the major reasons that we've seen a profound upturn lately in the number of people in this country who label themselves pro-life because they cannot deny what their own eyes are seeing. And the graphic images of these aborted babies have really taken the pro-life argument that abortion takes the life of a living human being and transformed it into an observable fact. It's not a philosophy. You can see it with your own eyes. Now, one of the other arguments that that we make in counter to the abortion industry's argument that abortion has to be legal so it'll be safe, that, of course, that presupposes that they're all safe.
Right.
They don't say it has to be legal so that some of them can be safe or so that a few of them can be safe. They say it needs to be legal so they can be safe, which means they think they're all safe. And I think the public is bought into that. The reality is that women die routinely from legal abortions. But when you tell people that, and even when you demonstrate it to them, you show them the newspaper article, you show them an autopsy, or you show them a medical examiner's report or whatever, the image that they have is distorted, because most people's contact with the dead is very limited, and usually it's limited to only going to people's funerals. That's about the only contact they ever have with people who are dead. And so they get this kind of sanitized view of, you know, death being people lying in a coffin peacefully, looking like they're asleep, and their hair's done and their makeup's done and their clothes are nice, and, you know, and it's not a graphic or horrible thing to them. The reality of death is quite different from that. And what we have done with this project that we just introduced today, just released it today, and this is one of the first interviews that I've had since we've released it. I've done a few others today, but this is one of the first ones. Anyway, we have now, with the full cooperation of this young lady's mom and father, we have released autopsy photos of a young lady who was killed named Marla Cardamone. And she was 18 years old. And as we say in the brochure that we put out on this, she was 18, but she would never make 19. And these photos bring a reality to this that has never been seen before. People need to understand something. When a woman goes in, or a young girl like this, goes into an abortion clinic and climbs upon an abortionist table, and 3 hours later, she's on a autopsy table at the coroner's office.
Right.
It is not pretty. It's horrible, ugly, disgusting view.
Yeah, Mark, Marla, the photo I'm looking at of Marla, of course, a beautiful young woman, and her mother, Deborah Cardamone. How do you say her last name?
Cardamone.
Cardamone. Her mother, Deborah Cardamone, made the decision, and the funeral director was so upset with her that it would be an open casket viewing.
Right.
And her daughter, she went in, this beautiful young woman, and just hours later, she looked horrific.
Yes. You know, I think a parallel here needs to be drawn. Back in the early days of the civil rights struggle, there was a young boy named Emmett Till.
Mm-hmm.
In LaFleur County, Mississippi, who, according to witnesses, allegedly made some inappropriate comment, or a comment that they thought was inappropriate, to a white woman who was walking by. And this young man was taken out, and not a young man, he was 14 years old. He was a boy.
Mm-hmm.
He was taken out and bludgeoned to death. And the photos of that are absolutely horrific. You can go online and see them.
Yeah.
And
his mother made the same.
Nobody can look at that and not
right.
Say that these are horrific images.
His mother in Chicago, Illinois, made the same decision now as
yes.
Deborah is making. And that was in Mississippi. He was murdered, as you said, at the age of 14.
He was visiting Mississippi, and he was killed there. And his mother insisted that it be an open casket funeral.
Mm-hmm.
And when the funeral director insisted that it be closed, she said, no, no, no. I'm going to show the world what they did to my baby.
Mm-hmm.
And that photo is often credited with igniting the early civil rights struggle in America. And what I'm saying to people is that Marla Cardamone is the parallel to Emmett Till in the pro-life movement.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping that people will see these horrific images and understand that when one of these women are killed in one of these safe and legal abortion clinics, it's not pretty.
Mm. Yeah, and Mark, as you have done so expertly over the years, you point out that the specific story we hear about occasionally is merely the tip of the iceberg. That we here in Colorado, some years back, we made an effort to research all the the women who were injured or killed by abortionists and lawsuits, medical malpractice lawsuits against abortionists. And every case that we were able to identify had been sealed by the local courts, and the Chief Justice in Denver, his wife was on Planned Parenthood's board. And as we looked into this, we saw that there was a pattern that Planned Parenthood around the country, they would put the wife of a local judge on their board. They pay her and they develop a good relationship with her. And obviously that would help them then before the courts.
Well, it's gone way beyond that. And you know, you say, well, we set out to investigate all the deaths and injuries in Colorado. It is physically impossible to do that. And that's what you came up against. That's what I came up against when I wrote my book, Line 5.
Right.
These people have been so incredibly adroit at covering this up. I mean, we're talking about things which, in my opinion, are illegal. If you look at the federal statutes on conflict of interest, and then look at what's going on at the Centers for Disease Control in Atlanta, Georgia, where they have the abortion surveillance branch, which is responsible for putting out all the morbidity and mortality statistics in the United States on America's healthcare system. And you research that, as we did, and you find out that every person who has ever been in charge of the abortion surveillance branch at the CDC has been either a practicing abortionist or somebody with ties to the abortion industry. The most recent would be a woman named Lisa Coonan, who is on the board of the Alan Guttmacher Institute, which is the research arm of Planned Parenthood, and she's a member of the National Abortion Federation and a regular presenter at their conferences.
And Alan Guttmacher, of course, a past president of Planned Parenthood.
Absolutely. One of the other, the longest serving member of the abortion surveillance branch of the CDC in Atlanta is David Grimes. And while David Grimes was running the abortion surveillance branch of the CDC in Atlanta, he was working at an Atlanta abortion clinic. He was moonlighting as an abortionist. Now, you tell me, I'll ask you this, Bob. Let's say that the CDC came out with statistics showing that cigarette smoking was not really all that harmful, may even have some health benefits. And then all of a sudden, you looked at the CDC's tobacco surveillance division.
Right.
And found out that all the people there,
they were executives,
were board members
on the tobacco
of R.J. Reynolds.
Right, right.
Hey, I mean, I think if that were to happen, there'd be a congressional investigation, and some people might wind up going to jail in violation of the laws.
Conflict of interest.
Prohibit that sort of thing as conflict of interest.
Right,
but
Mark.
Nobody's doing that with abortion.
Yeah, Mark, you could see why we refer to them. You've heard of the Holy See. Well, the CDC, we refer to them as the CDC, S-E-E-D-Y, the CDC, they, whatever will help the child-killing industry, covering up the link between abortion and breast cancer, they're there. They're there to serve the child killers in this country, and it's become, of course, a culture of death, as we see in the headlines constantly around us. Aurora, where we had the theater massacre, we just had another murder, three murders, just a couple days ago in Aurora, Colorado, just near our studio. So, yeah, we have a culture of death, and the government's arm involved with the medical industry is complicit. They're fully involved in the effort to continue to kill innocent children. Of course, that's moved into euthanasia and disrespect for life generally, embryonic stem cell research and so on.
You're right. And basically, Bob, what's going on at the CDC, and people need to understand this is a giant government entity. Most people don't even know it's part of the government. But the CDC, when I wrote my book, Line 5, and we were studying this issue, had over 6,000 employees, federal employees, and a budget of $250,000 an hour, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. And that was in 1996. I haven't looked at what it is now. But what's going on there is nothing short of a national scandal. And they are covering up situations like this young lady's death. I can tell you, we've got autopsy reports, we've got death certificates, we've got medical examiner reports here in this office for I can't tell you how many women who we can absolutely 100% document died in legal abortions who are not counted by the CDC.
Mark, I'm going to take my headphones off and walk across my studio room here to my bookcase to get a copy of your book, Lyme 5. So for one moment here, I won't be able to hear you, but I've got it right here. And I read this many years ago. Do you recall when you published this?
Yes, I published it in 1996.
96, and this helped to galvanize me. I got involved in the rescue movement back in the 80s, late 80s. And so when this came out, I was already in the pro-life movement. But what a shocking revelation. You would think an industry that kills children, that's its stock and trade, that there would be gross immorality throughout that industry, not just in their main income source. But your book just was horrific to read. Even though I opened it assuming the worst, it was worse than I could imagine.
Well, people often ask me, you know, say that book you wrote in 96 and released then, it's kind of old now, and say, is that stuff still happening? And the fact is, it's much worse than what I wrote in 1996.
So we have Deborah Cardamone and telling the story of her daughter Marla and the open casket viewing at Marla's funeral, the autopsy photos that you have now published. We have the historical account of Emmett Till. And if I recall, for his funeral, thousands and thousands of people came. They waited in line for hours. And you're right, the photos are online and they're absolutely horrific. And of course, this is what helped the world to realize what happened in Nazi Germany. The millions of people who were systematically slaughtered. Many people were in denial, and the photos helped people to realize what had actually happened. What happened to Emmett Till woke up the conscience of America to the brutality of the cruelty of racism, the hatred, and then, of course, the pictures of unborn children who have been slaughtered. Today, I was in the office of Colorado Right to Life, and we have 15,000 flyers that we give away to people. People could take them in batches of 100 or 500, and there are pictures of baby David, a late-term child that was aborted, and it's just the most gruesome and devastating image of what the child killers in America do to children. And so this is now the latest effort with Marla's autopsy photos to try to reach the heart of this country.
Yeah, and you know, there's a little game, Bob, that the pro-aborts play with numbers. And you look at some of these late-term abortion pictures, and by the way, let's make it clear to people that your position and my position is that morally there's no difference between an abortion at 3 hours after fertilization or 30 weeks.
Thank you, Mark.
It doesn't matter. It's still a living human being from the moment of fertilization.
Right.
But from a graphic standpoint, and the late-term abortions are, of course, more horrible because the babies are more developed and they're older.
It's easier to see.
The abortion industry will come out here and say, oh, look, only a small percentage, 8 to 10% of all abortions are done at that length of time, and you're concentrating on that small, tiny 8 to 10%. Well, let me point out something here, Bob. There are about 3,500 abortions done a day in the United States. If 8 to 10%, if they're not lying, and they probably are, but let's give them the credit right now. Say that the pro-choice crowd isn't lying through their teeth, and it's really just 8 to 10%. You're talking about 300 to 350 babies a day, late-term babies, many of whom are viable, have gone past the age of what we consider viability, that are butchered in these most horrific fashions. Now, let's imagine that two 737s with 175 people on them, on each one of them, crash every day. That'd be about the same number of children that are killed, late-term only, every day. There'd not be an American in this country, there'd not be a person in this country who would get on a jet airliner if two of them a day were crashing and killing 300 to 350 people.
Right.
And yet we'll just blow off 300 to 350 babies as an inconsequential number.
Mm-hmm. And
that's what's happened to us as a nation, because we have accepted this idea of legalized abortion, and it has skewed everything we do. It skews everything we think about.
Well, here in Colorado, once again, we're introducing a fetal homicide bill, and it's a principled bill. It doesn't say, like, Mark, I think it's tragic that in all the states, 30-some states where we have fetal homicide legislation right now, they all affirm abortion in all kinds of ways. Colorado, we introduced the nation's first principled fetal homicide bill last year. It was not a backdoor personhood. It merely indicated, in fact, it was modeled after Exodus chapter 21. If a crime is being committed and the unborn child is also injured or killed, then you can also punish the criminal for the crime against the fetus.
Right.
And so that's all it was. It didn't mention abortion. It just a crime under Colorado's criminal statutes. And it passed the House committee. It passed the House of Representatives. In the Senate was controlled by Democrats, so it was shot down. We'll be introducing this again. But in the meantime, another baby has been killed by a drunk driver. The baby is ready to be born. And the parents were so disgusted at first by the media, because the media refused to call their child a baby. And the family rebuked the media, and the media actually began to refer to the baby as a baby. But the prosecutor said, we cannot charge this criminal with homicide because your child was not a child. And the family is outraged. Personhood Colorado has produced a fabulous 10-minute documentary on this, interviewing the mother. But this is an example of what you're saying. When we have decriminalized killing children, society is broken.
It is. You know, you mentioned Columbine and Aurora and things like that, mm-hmm. and this situation up in Connecticut, which is undeniably horrible. I mean, I can't even hardly wrap my mind around this idea that some little sleazebag would go into a school and kill 20 or 25 children. I mean, you can't even process that in your mind.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact is that same day, 3,500 other babies were butchered and nobody said a word about it. Mm-hmm. And you're not going to tell me, because the left is trying to use this as an argument for gun control, but you're not going to tell me that the problem here is what's in the hands of those people. It's what's in their hearts.
Right.
And what's in their hearts has been created by this culture of death that we have embraced in the United States, in which we murder 3,500 babies a day and just call it a choice, or that it's no big deal, or it serves a greater purpose. It, you know, it keeps us from having to feed them, and it keeps us from having to put them in schools. And I've heard all these arguments, and I know you have too. But you're not going to tell me that hasn't had an effect on the population's view of human life. There's no way it can't.
Well, of course, right. Women, when they're pregnant, even if they're pro-choice, they call themselves that, pro-abortion, they, when they're pregnant and the baby, they feel the baby and they say, I felt the baby kick. You know, if they're going to have the baby, if they're not going to kill the baby, I felt the baby kick. It's a little boy. It's a little girl. They don't say, I felt the fetus kick. Planned Parenthood, Alan Guttmacher, he surveyed the women getting abortions at Planned Parenthood and asked them, do you think it's a child? And a huge percentage of the women getting an abortion said that, I think it's a child, a significant percentage. So obviously, I mean, the women know better than the guys, right? That's why women tend to be more pro-life than guys are. And so a huge percentage of the women who've had abortions believe that they killed their child. So, of course, this is going to make the heart of the nation callous, as Ronald Reagan wrote about the conscience of a nation.
Right. You'd have to be just almost insane to believe that you can do this with no consequences, that it doesn't affect the public's view of life or the public's view of humanity or the public's view of each other, how people relate to each other. And I think it is really, I don't think there's any doubt that it has truly devalued women in our culture, because what we have said to women for the last 40 years now is that the greatest thing that God ever gave you, the ability to produce a child, which those of us who are male, you know, can look at and just marvel at and can't even imagine what that feeling must be like. Mm. But what we've said as a culture now to those females over this time is that that's not a gift. That's not something that you should be proud of. That's a burden that you should be allowed to choose to bear or not to bear. Mm. It's not a gift. Mm. And so it's affected, I think, our view of children. It's affected our view of each other.
Yeah, the war,
our view of human life.
Right, the war, the jihad against children, which is throughout the West, throughout much of the world, China, right. Soviet Union. Mark, we are coming up on the 40th anniversary of the horrific Roe v. Wade opinion. And in Colorado, the Colorado Right to Life March for Life is on Sunday, this time, first time on a Sunday in many years, Sunday, January 20th, and it begins at 1 o'clock at the west steps of the Capitol. Certainly, going to a March for Life is an important thing. It's like a baby step. It's not going to end abortion, but it's going to bring together people who will encourage one another to think about how we could make a difference in our lives with our lives and actually save children with God's help, actually save moms from killing their kids and save children from being dismembered. The fact that we're talking just a couple weeks in Colorado, it's a week from this Sunday, and at Denver Bible Church, in fact, we've moved our service earlier that Sunday morning at 9:30 to 10:30, so people will have time to get down to the Capitol and go to the March for Life. What else should people do?
I'm sorry?
What else should people do, Mark? What is it that, now, your website, I frequent your website often. Your projects, your resources are extraordinary at lifedynamics.com. I'm a spokesman with American Right to Life. American Right to Life tends to train people on pro-life strategy, fight for personhood without exception, the God-given right to life. We only have a minute left. Do you have any suggestions? What can people do? How about with your current project? How could they help get this to more
first
people?
First off, they need to look at this material and kind of accept that they're going to have to operate outside their comfort zone. I don't want anybody to think that this was comfortable for us or for me to design this brochure or for us to do this. And it was certainly not comfortable for Deborah to come here and ask me to do this and put pictures of her daughter laying up on an autopsy table. That was certainly not comfortable for her. But there comes a point at which we have to decide, are we going to try to stop this or are we just going to talk about it? And are we just going to talk about it because trying to stop it will mean that we'll have to get outside our comfort zone and we're not going to do that. So I think people have to just as we say here in Texas, man up and say, we're going to have to do what it takes to end this thing and quit just talking about the slaughter of these unborn babies and start doing something to stop it. The first thing that needs to happen, in my view.
Yeah.
And I think this is where you'll get.
And Mark, we're out of time. We have another 5 seconds only. So,
yeah,
Mark,
federal funding of Planned Parenthood.
All right. Very good. Thank you, Mark, so much. Mark Crutcher, lifedynamics.com. We're at kgov.com. God bless you.
Now you can subscribe to Bob Enyart's monthly Bible study DVDs. These verse-by-verse Bible study videos are great for family Bible study or even starting your own neighborhood Bible study. Each month, you get 4 or 5 Bible study sessions on 2 DVDs. You can subscribe by calling 1-800-8-ENYART or online at kgovstore.com. That's kgovstore.com.